For Dad. You should come home with me next time. Next time is Thanksgiving. I think I'll be there. Kath stopped. They were almost to Ren's next class, and Kath hadn't even gotten to the hard part yet. Dad told me that he'd already told you. Ren exhaled like she knew what was coming. Yeah. He said you were thinking about it.
I am.
Why? Kath tried really hard to say it without whining. Because, Ren hitched up her backpack. Because she's our mom, and I'm thinking about it. But it wasn't that Kath couldn't think of an argument. It was that there were so many. The arguments in her brain were like a swarm of people running from a burning building and getting stuck in the door. But she'll just mess everything up. She already messed everything up, Ren said. It's not like she can leave us again.
Yes, she can.
Ren shook her head. I'm just thinking about it.
Will you tell me if you decide anything?
Ren frowned.
Not if it's going to make you this upset.
I have a right to get upset about upsetting things.
I just don't like it, Ren said, looking away from Kath, up at the door. I'm going to be late.
So was Kath.
We're already roommates, Paz argued. I shouldn't have to be his lab partner as well. You're asking me to bear far more than my fair share of apple-cheeked protagonism.
Every girl in the laboratory sat on the edge of her stool, ready to take Paz's place.
That's enough about my cheeks,
Snow muttered, blushing heroically.
Honestly, Professor,
Baz said, waving his wand toward Snow in a just-look-at-him gesture. Snow caught the end of the wand and pointed it at the floor. Professor Chilblains was unmoved.
Sit down, Mr. Pitch. You're wasting precious lab time.
Baz slammed his books down at Snow's station. Snow put his safety goggles on and adjusted them. It did nothing to dim his blue eyes or blunt his glare.
For the record, Snow grumbled, I don't want to spend any more time with you either. Stupid boy,
Baz sighed to himself, taking in Snow's tense shoulders, the flush of anger in his neck, and the thick fall of bronze hair partially trapped in his goggles.
What do you know about want?
From the four basic types of chemical reactions, posted August 2009 by fanfics.net authors Magicath and Renegade.
Chapter 11. The hallway was perfectly quiet. Everyone who lived in Pound Hall was somewhere else, having fun. Kath stared at her computer screen and heard Professor Piper's voice again in her head. She kept forcing herself to remember the entire conversation, playing it back and playing it back, all the way through, forcing a finger down her memory's throat. Today, at the beginning of class, Professor Piper had passed their unreliable narrator scenes back, everybody's but Kath's.
We'll talk after class, okay?
The professor said to Kath, with that gentle, righteous smile she had. Kath had thought this exception must be a good thing, that Professor Piper must have really liked her story. She really liked Kath, you could tell. Kath got more of those soft smiles than just about anybody else in the class, more than Nick, by far. And this scene was the best thing Kath had written all semester. She knew it was. Maybe Professor Piper wanted to talk about the piece in more detail, or maybe she was going to talk to Kath about taking her advanced class next semester. You had to have special permission to register. Or maybe just something good. Something.
Kath, Professor Piper said when everybody else was gone and Kath had stepped up to her desk. Sit down.
Professor Piper's smile was softer than ever, but it was all wrong. Her eyes were sad and sorry, and when she handed Kath her paper, there was a small red F written in the corner. Kath's head whipped up.
Kath, Professor Piper said. I don't know what to make of this. I really don't know what you were thinking. But, Kath said, was it that bad? Could her scene really have been that much worse than everyone else's? Bad or good isn't the point. Professor Piper shook her head, and her long, wild hair swayed from side to side. This is plagiarism. No, Kath said. I wrote it myself. You wrote it yourself? You're the author of Simon Snow and the Mage's Heir? Of course not. Why was Professor Piper saying this? These characters, this whole world, belongs to someone else. But the story is mine. The characters and the world make the story, the older woman said, like she was pleading with Kath to understand. Not necessarily. Kath could feel how red her face was. Her voice was breaking. Yes, Professor Piper said, necessarily. If you're asked to write something original, you can't just steal someone else's story and rearrange the characters. It's not stealing. What would you call it? Borrowing, Kath said, hating that she was arguing with Professor Piper, not ever wanting to make Professor Piper's face look this cold and closed, but not able to stop. Repurposing, remixing, sampling, stealing. It's not illegal. All the arguments came easily to Kath. They were the justification for all fan fiction. I don't own the characters, but I'm not trying to sell them either. Professor Piper just kept shaking her head, more disappointed than she'd seemed even a few minutes ago. She ran her hands along her jeans. Her fingers were small, and she was wearing a large, narrow turquoise ring that jutted out over her knuckle. Whether it's legal is hardly relevant. I asked you to write an original story. You. And there's nothing original here. I just don't think you understand, Kath said. It came out a sob. She looked down at her lap, ashamed, and saw the red F again. I don't think you understand, Kath, the professor said, her voice deliberately calm. And I really want you to. This is college. What we do here is real. I've allowed you into an upper-level course, and so far, you've greatly impressed me. But this was an immature mistake, and the right thing for you to do now is to learn from it. Kath locked her jaw closed. She still wanted to argue. She'd worked so hard on this assignment. Professor Piper was always telling them to write about something close to their hearts, and there was nothing closer to Kath's heart than Baz and Simon. But Kath just nodded and stood up. She even managed a meek thank you on the way out of the classroom. Thinking about it now, again, made the skin on Kath's face feel scorched clean. She stared at the charcoal drawing of Baz pinned up behind her laptop. He was sitting on a carved black throne, one leg draped over its arm, his head tilted forward in languid challenge. The artist had written along the bottom of the page in perfect calligraphy, "Who would you be without me, Snow? A blue-eyed virgin who'd never thrown a punch." And below that, the inimitable Magic Kath. Kath picked up her phone again. She'd called Ren at least 6 times since she left class. Every time, the call went straight to voicemail. Every time, Kath hung up. If she could just talk to Ren, she would feel better. Ren would understand, probably. Ren had said all that mean stuff about Baz and Simon a few weeks ago, but she'd been drunk. If Ren knew how upset Kath was right now, she wouldn't be a bitch about it. She'd understand. She'd tug Kath back from the edge. Ren was really good at that. If Ren were here, Kath laughed. It came out like a sob. What the F, she thought. Why is everything coming out like a sob? If Ren were here, she'd call an emergency Kanye party. First, she'd stand on the bed. That was the protocol back home. When things were getting too intense, when Ren found out that Jesse Sandoz was cheating on her, when Kath got fired because her boss at the bookstore didn't think she smiled enough, when their dad was acting like a zombie and wouldn't stop, one of them would stand on her bed and pretend to pull an imaginary lever, a giant switch set in the air, and shout, "Emergency Kanye party!" And then it was the other person's job to run to the computer and start the Emergency Kanye playlist. And then they'd both jump around and dance and shout Kanye West lyrics until they felt better. Sometimes it would take a while. "I'm authorized to call an emergency Kanye party," Kath thought to herself, laughing again. This time it came out slightly more like a laugh. "It's not like I need a quorum." She reached toward her laptop and opened her Kanye playlist. There were portable speakers in one of her drawers. She got them out and plugged them in. Then she turned the volume all the way up. It was a Friday night. There was nobody in the building, maybe nobody on campus to disturb. "Emergency Kanye party." Kath climbed onto her bed to announce it, but she stepped right down. It felt silly and pathetic. Is there anything more pathetic than a one-person dance party? She stood in front of the speakers instead and closed her eyes, not really dancing, just bouncing and whispering the lyrics. After the first verse, she was dancing. Kanye always crawled right under her skin. He was the perfect antidote to any serious frustration. Just enough angry, just enough indignant, just enough "the world will never know how ridiculously awesome I am," just enough poet. With her eyes closed, Kath could almost pretend that Ren was dancing on the other side of the room, holding a Simon Snow replica wand for a microphone. After a few songs, Kath didn't need to pretend. If any of her neighbors had been home, they would have heard her shouting the lyrics. Kath danced and rapped and danced, and eventually there was knocking. Damn, maybe the neighbors are home. She opened the door without looking and without turning down the music, Kanye impaired thinking, but ready to apologize. It was just Levi. "Reagan isn't here," Kath shouted. He said something, but not loud enough. "What?" she yelled. "Then who is here?" Levi shouted, smiling. Levi, always smiling, wearing a plaid flannel shirt with the sleeves unbuttoned at the wrists. Couldn't even be trusted to dress himself. "Who's in there, listening to rap music?" "Me," Kath said. She was panting. She tried not to pant. He leaned toward her so he wouldn't have to shout. "This can't be Kath or music. I'd always pegged you as the mopey indie type." He was teasing her. Only genuine emergencies were allowed to interrupt the emergency Kanye party. "Go away," Kath started to shut the door. Levi stopped it with his hand. "What are you doing?" he said, laughing and pushing his head forward on the doing. She shook her head because she couldn't think of anything reasonable to say, and because it wouldn't matter anyway. Levi was never reasonable. "Emergency dance party. Go away." "Oh, no," Levi said, pushing the door open and sliding in. "Too skinny. Too tall." Kath shut the door behind him. There was no protocol for this. She'd call Ren for a sidebar consultation if there was any chance Ren would answer the phone. Levi stood in front of Kath, his face serious, for once. Seriously, for once. And his head deliberately bobbing up and down. "So," he said loudly, "emergency dance party." Kath nodded, and nodded, and nodded. Levi nodded back. And then Kath started laughing and rolled her eyes away from him, moving her hips from side to side, just barely. And then her shoulders. And then she was dancing again, tighter than before, her knees and elbows almost locking, but dancing. When she looked back at Levi, he was dancing too, exactly the way she would have imagined him dancing if she'd ever tried, too long and too loose, running his fingers through his hair. Dude, we get it. Extreme widow's peak. His eyes were absolutely gleaming with mirth, putting out light. Kath couldn't stop laughing. Levi caught her eyes and laughed too. And then he was dancing with her. Not close or anything. Not any closer, actually. Just looking at her face and moving with her. And then she was dancing with him. Better than him, which was nice. She realized she was biting her bottom lip and stopped. She started rapping instead. Kath could blow these songs backwards. Levi raised his eyebrows and grinned. He knew the chorus and rapped with her. They danced into the next song and through it and into the next. Levi stepped toward her, maybe not even on purpose, and Kath whirled up onto her bed. He laughed and jumped up onto Reagan's, practically bumping his head on the ceiling. They kept on dancing together, imitating each other's goofiest moves, bouncing at the end of the beds. It was almost like dancing with Ren, but not, of course. Really, really not. And then the door swung open. Kath jumped back away from it and fell flat on her mattress, bouncing and rolling onto the floor. Levi was laughing so hard he had to lean against the wall with both hands. Reagan walked in and said something, but Kath didn't catch it. She reached up to her desk and closed the laptop, stopping the music. Levi's laughter rang out in the sudden quiet. Kath was completely out of breath, and she'd landed wrong on her knee. "What the major fuck?" Reagan said, more shocked than angry. At least Kath didn't think she seemed angry. "Emergency dance party," Levi said, jumping off the bed and reaching out to help Kath. Kath held onto the desk and stood up. "Okay?" he asked. She smiled and nodded her head. "Have you met Cather?" Levi said to Reagan, his face still shining with amusement. "She spits hot fire." "This is exactly the sort of day I'm having," Reagan said, setting down her bag and kicking off her shoes. "Weird shit around every corner. I'm going out. You coming?" "Sure." Levi turned to Kath. "You coming?" Reagan looked at Kath and frowned. Kath felt something sticky blooming again in her stomach. Maybe the scene with Professor Piper was coming back to her, or maybe she shouldn't have been dancing with her roommate's boyfriend. "You should come," Reagan said. She seemed sincere. Kath tugged at the hem of her t-shirt. "Nah, it's already late. I'm just gonna write." She reached for her phone out of habit and checked it. She'd missed a text message from Ren. "At Muggsy's. Come now. 911. Kath checked the time. Ren had texted her 20 minutes ago, while she and Levi were dancing. She set her phone on the desk and started putting her boots on over her pajama pants. "Is everything okay?" Levi asked. "I don't know." Kath shook her head. She felt ashamed again, and scared. Her stomach seemed thrilled to have something new to twist about. "What's Muggsy's?"
"It's a bar," he said. "Near East Campus."
"What's East Campus?" Levi reached around her and picked up her phone. He frowned at the screen.
"I'll take you. I've got my car."
"Take her where?" Reagan asked. Levi tossed her Kath's phone and put on his coat.
"I'm sure she's fine," Reagan said, looking at the text. "She probably just had too much to drink. Mandatory freshman behavior."
"I still have to go get her," Kath said, taking back the phone.
"Of course you do," Levi agreed. 911 is 911.
He looked at Reagan.
"You coming?"
"Not if you don't need me. We're supposed to meet Anna and Matt."
"I'll catch up with you later," he said.
Kath was already standing by the door.
"Your sister's fine, Kath," Reagan said, almost, but not quite gently. "She's just being normal."
Levi's car was a truck, a big one. How did he afford the gas? Kath didn't want any help getting in, but the running board was missing. It was an especially shitty truck, she noticed now that she was up close, and she would have had to climb in on all fours if he hadn't taken her elbow. The cab smelled like gasoline and roasted coffee beans. The seatbelt was stuck, but she still managed to get it buckled. Levi swung into his seat smoothly and smiled at her. He was trying to be encouraging, Kath figured. "What's East Campus?" she asked.
"Are you serious?"
"Why wouldn't I be serious right now?"
"It's the other part of campus," he said. "Where the ag school is?"
Kath shrugged impatiently and looked out the window. It had been sleeting since this afternoon. The lights looked like wet smears on the streets. Fortunately, Levi was driving slow.
"And the law school," he said. "And there are dormitories and a perfectly adequate bowling alley and a dairy. Seriously, none of this is ringing any bells?"
Kath let her head rest on the glass. The truck's heater was still blowing cold air. It had been a half hour now since the text, a half hour past 911. "How far is it?"
"A few miles. 10 minutes from here. Maybe longer with the weather. East Campus is where most of my classes are."
Kath wondered if Ren was alone. Where was Courtney? Weren't they supposed to be skinny bitching together?
"There's a tractor museum," Levi said, "and an international quilt education center. And the food in the residence halls is outstanding."
It wasn't right. Having a twin sister was supposed to be like having your own watcher, your own guardian, built-in best friend. Their dad had bought them shirts that said that for their 13th birthday. They still wore them sometimes, though never at once, just to be funny, or ironic, or whatever. "What's the point of having a twin sister if you won't let her look out for you, if you won't let her fight at your back?"
"East Campus is just so much better than City Campus in every way, and you don't even know that it exists."
The light ahead turned red, and Kath felt the tires spin beneath them. Levi shifted gears, and the truck rolled to a perfect stop. They had to park quite a ways from the bar. This whole street was bars, block after block of them. "They're not going to let me in," Kath said, wishing Levi would walk faster. "I'm underage."
"Muggsy's never checks."
"I've never even been in a bar." A dozen girls spilled out of the doorway ahead of them. Levi grabbed Kath's sleeve and pulled her out of the way.
"I have," he said. "It's going to be fine."
"It's not fine," Kath said, more to herself than to Levi. "If it was fine, she wouldn't need me." Levi pulled on her sleeve again and opened a heavy, black, windowless door. Kath glanced up at the neon sign over their heads. Only the Uggsy and a four-leaf clover lit up. There was a big guy sitting just inside on a stool, reading a Daily Nebraskan with a flashlight. He flipped the light up at Levi and smiled.
"Hey, Levi."
Levi smiled back.
"Hey, Yackel."
Yackel held a second door open with one hand. He didn't even look at Kath. Levi patted him on the arm as they walked past. It was dark inside the bar and crowded. People pressed shoulder to shoulder. There was a band playing on a couch-sized stage near the door. Kath looked around, but she couldn't see past the crush of bodies. She wondered where Ren was. Where had Ren been 45 minutes ago? Hiding in the bathroom? Crouched against a wall? Had she been sick? Had she passed out? She did that sometimes. Who had been here to help her? Who had been here to hurt her? Kath felt Levi's hand on her elbow.
"Come on," he said.
They squeezed by a high-top table full of people doing shots. One of the guys fell back into Kath, and Levi propped him back up with a smile. "You hang out here?" Kath asked when they were past the table.
"It's only douchey like this when there's a band playing."
She and Levi moved farther from the stage, closer to the bar. A movement near the wall caught Kath's eye, the way someone flipped back her hair. "Ren," Kath said, surging forward. Levi held her arm and pushed in front of her, trying to clear the way. "Ren!" Kath shouted over the crowd, before she was even close enough for Ren to hear. Kath's heart was pounding. She was trying to make out the situation around Ren. A big guy was standing in front of her, his arms caging Ren against the carpeted wall. Ren! Kath knocked one of the guy's arms away, and he pulled back, nonplussed. Are you okay? Kath? Ren was holding a bottle of dark beer halfway up to her mouth, like her arm was stuck there. What are you doing here? You told me to come. Ren huffed. Her face was flushed, and she had drunk, droopy eyelids. I didn't tell you anything. You sent me a text, Kath said, glowering up at the big guy until he took another step back. Come to Muggsy's, 911. Shit. Ren pulled her phone out of her jeans and looked down at it. She had to stare at it for a second before she could focus. That was for Courtney. Wrong C. Wrong C? Kath froze, then threw her hands into the air. Are you kidding me? Hey, somebody said. They both turned. A fratty-looking guy was standing a foot away, nodding his head at them. He curled his lip and grinned. Twins! Fuck off, Ren said, turning back to her sister. Look, I'm sorry. Are you in trouble? Kath asked. No, Ren said. No, no, no. Pretty hot, the guy said. Then why the 911? Kath demanded. Because I wanted Courtney to come quick. Ren waved her beer bottle toward the stage. The guy she likes is here. Dude, check it out. Hot twins. 911 is for emergencies, Kath shouted. It was so loud in here you had to shout. It made it way too easy to lose your temper. Do you really think that's appropriate? Kath heard Levi say in his smiling for strangers voice. Fucking twins, man. That's the fantasy, right? Take a pill, Kath, Ren said, rubbing her eyes with the back of her hand. It's not like I actually called 911. You realize that they're sisters, right? Levi said, his voice getting tighter. You're talking about incest. The guy laughed. No, I'm talking about buying them drinks until they start making out. Is that what happens with you and your sister? Levi stepped away from Kath toward the guy and his friend. Who fucking raised you? Levi, don't. Kath pulled on his jacket. This happens all the time. This happens all the time? His eyebrows jerked up in the middle, and he turned on the guy. These two girls have parents. They have a father, and he should never have to worry that they're going to end up in a bar, debasing themselves for some pervert who still jerks off to Girls Gone Wild videos. That's not something a father should ever have to think about. The pervy guy wasn't paying attention. He leered drunkenly over Levi's shoulder at Kath and Ren. Ren flipped him off, and he arched his lip again. Levi stepped closer to the guy's table. You don't get to look at them that way just because they look alike, you fucking pervert. Another fratty guy stepped up, carrying three beers, and glanced over. He grinned when he saw Kath and Ren. Twins! Fucking fantasy, the first guy said. Then, before anyone saw him coming, the guy standing next to Ren, the big one who had been caging her in, stepped past Levi and plowed the drunk pervert right in the chin. Levi looked up at the big guy and grinned, clapping him on the shoulder. Ren grabbed his arm. Hondro! The pervy guy's friends were already helping him off the floor. Levi took Kath's sleeve and started pushing Hondro into the crowd. Hondro dragged Ren behind him. Come on, Levi said. Out, out, out! Kath could hear the perv shouting curses behind them. Oh, fuck you, flowers in the attic, Levi shouted back. They practically fell through the front door. The bouncer stood up. Everything cool, Levi? Drunks, Levi said, shaking his head. Yackel headed back into the bar. Ren was already out on the sidewalk, shouting at the big guy, at Hondro. Was he her date? Kath wondered. Or was he just somebody who threw a punch for her? I can't believe you did that, Ren said. You could get arrested.
She hit his arm, and he let her. Levi hit Hondro's other arm in a kind of salute. They were about the same height, but Hondro was broader, a dark-haired guy, probably Mexican, Kath thought, wearing a red western shirt.
Who's going to get arrested? Someone asked.
Kath spun around. Courtney, clomping toward them in 5-inch pink heels.
Why are you guys standing outside in this shit?
We're not, Kath said. We're leaving.
But I just got here, Courtney whined.
She looked at Ren.
Is Noah in there?
We're leaving, Kath said to Ren. You're drunk.
Yes,
Ren held up her beer bottle.
Finally.
Whoa there, Levi said, snagging the bottle and dropping it into a trash can behind her. Open container.
That was my beer, Ren objected.
A little louder there, jailbait. I don't think every cop on the street heard you.
He was smiling. Kath wasn't.
You're drunk, she said. You're going home.
No, Kath, I'm not. I'm drunk, and I'm staying out. That's the whole fucking point of being out.
She swayed, and Courtney giggled and put her arm around her. Ren looked at her roommate and started giggling, too.
Everything's the whole fucking point with you, Kath said quietly. The sleet was hitting her cheeks like gravel. Ren had tiny pieces of ice in her hair.
I'm not leaving you alone like this, Kath said.
I'm not alone, Ren replied.
It's okay, Kath.
Courtney's smile couldn't be more patronizing or more coated in pink lipstick.
I'm here. Han Solo's here, she smiled up flirtily at Hondro. The night is young.
The night is young, Ren sang, laying her head against Courtney's arm.
I can't just...
Kath shook her head.
It's fucking freezing out here.
Courtney hugged Ren again.
Come on.
Not Muggsy's, Hondro said, starting to walk away.
He glanced back at Kath, and for a second she thought he was going to say something, but he kept on walking. Ren and Courtney followed him. Courtney clomped. Ren didn't look back. Kath watched them walk up the block and disappear under another broken neon sign. She wiped the ice off her cheeks.
Hey,
she heard someone say after a cold, wet minute. Levi, still standing behind her.
Let's go, Kath said, looking down at the sidewalk. On top of everything else that was going wrong right this minute, Levi must think she was an idiot.
Kath's pajama pants were soaked, and the wind was blowing right through them. She shivered. Levi walked past her, taking her hood and pulling it up over her head on his way. She followed him to his truck. Now that she realized how cold she was, her teeth were starting to chatter.
I've got it, she said, when Levi tried to help her in.
She waited for him to walk away before heaving herself up onto the seat. Levi slid behind the wheel and started the truck, cranking up the heat and the windshield wipers and holding his hands up to the vents.
Seatbelt, he said after a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Kath dug for the seatbelt.
She buckled up.
The truck still didn't move.
You did the right thing, you know.
Levi.
No, Kath said. I don't know.
You had to go check on her. 911 is 911.
And then I left her, completely wasted, with a stranger and a moron.
That guy didn't seem like a stranger, Levi said.
Kath almost laughed, because he hadn't argued with the moron part.
I'm her sister. I'm supposed to look out for her.
Not against her will.
What if she passes out?
Does that happen a lot?
Kath looked over at him. His hair was wet, and you could see the tracks where he'd pushed his fingers through it.
I don't want to talk about this anymore, she said.
Okay. Are you hungry?
No. She looked down at her lap. The truck still didn't move.
Because I'm hungry, he said.
Aren't you supposed to meet up with Reagan?
Yep, later.
Kath rubbed her face again. The ice in her hair was melting and dripping into her eyes. I'm wearing pajamas. Levi put the truck into reverse.
I know just the place.
The pajama pants weren't a problem. Levi took her to a 24-hour truck stop near the edge of town. Nothing in Lincoln was too far from the edge of town. The place felt like it hadn't been redecorated ever, like maybe it had been built 60 years ago out of materials that were already worn and cracking. The waitress started pouring them coffee without even asking if they wanted any. Perfect, Levi said, smiling at the waitress and shuffling out of his coat. She set the cream on the table and brushed his shoulder fondly. Do you come here a lot? Kath asked when the waitress left.
More than I go other places, I guess. If you order the corned beef hash, you don't have to eat for days. Cream?
Kath didn't usually order coffee, but she nodded anyway, and he topped off her cup. She pulled her saucer back and stared down at it. She heard Levi exhale.
I know how you feel right now, he said. I have two little sisters.
You don't know how I feel. Kath dumped in 3 packs of sugar. She's not just my sister.
Do people really do that to you guys all the time?
Do what? Kath looked up at him, and he looked away.
The twin thing.
Oh, that. She stirred her coffee, clacking the spoon too hard against her cup. Not all the time. Only if we're around drunks or, like, walking down the street. He made a face. People are depraved. The waitress came back, and Levi lit up for her, predictably. He ordered corned beef hash. Kath stuck with coffee.
She'll grow out of it, he said, when the waitress walked away from their booth. Reagan's right. It's a freshman thing.
I'm a freshman. I'm not out getting wasted. Levi laughed.
Right, because you're too busy throwing dance parties. What was the emergency, anyway?
Kath watched him laugh and felt the sticky black pit yawn open in her stomach. Professor Piper, Simon, Baz, neat red F.
Were you anticipating an emergency? He asked, still smiling. Or maybe summoning one, like a rain dance?
You don't have to do this, Kath said.
Do what?
Try to make me feel better. She felt the tears coming on, and her voice wobbled. I'm not one of your little sisters. Levi's smile fell completely.
I'm sorry, he said, all the teasing gone. I thought maybe you'd want to talk about it.
Kath looked back at her coffee. She shook her head a few times, as much to tell him no as to shake away the stinging in her eyes. His corned beef hash came, a whole mess of it. He moved Kath's coffee cup to the table and scooped hash onto her saucer. Kath ate it. It was easier than arguing. She'd been arguing all day, and so far no one had listened. And besides, the corned beef hash was really good, like they made it fresh with real corned beef, and there were 2 sunny-side-up eggs on top. Levi piled more onto her plate. Something happened in class, Kath said. She didn't look up at him. Maybe she could use a big brother right now. She was currently down a twin sister. Any port in a storm, and all that.
What class? He asked.
Fiction writing.
You take fiction writing? That's an actual class?
That's an actual question?
Does this have something to do with your Simon Snow thing?
Kath looked up now and flushed. Who told you about my Simon Snow thing?
Nobody had to tell me. You've got Simon Snow stuff everywhere. You're worse than my 10-year-old cousin.
Levi grinned. He looked relieved to be smiling again.
Reagan told me you write stories about him.
So Reagan told you?
That's what you're always working on, right? Writing stories about Simon Snow?
Kath didn't know what to say. It sounded absolutely ridiculous when Levi said it. They're not just stories, she said. He took a giant bite of hash. His hair was still wet and falling wetly, blondly into his eyes. He pushed it back.
They're not?
Kath shook her head. They were just stories, but stories weren't just anything. Simon wasn't just.
What do you know about Simon Snow? She asked.
He shrugged. Everybody knows about Simon Snow.
You've read the books?
I've seen the movies.
Kath rolled her eyes so hard it hurt. Actually. Maybe because she was still on the edge of tears. On the edge, period.
So you haven't read the books?
I'm not really a book person.
That might be the most idiotic thing you've ever said to me.
Don't change the subject, Levi said, grinning some more. You write stories about Simon Snow.
You think this is funny?
Yes, Levi said, but also sort of cool. Tell me about your stories.
Kath pressed the tines of her fork into her placemat. They're just like, I take the characters and I put them in new situations.
Like deleted scenes?
Sometimes. More like what-ifs. Like, what if Baz wasn't evil? What if Simon never found the five blades? What if Agatha found them instead? What if Agatha was evil?
Agatha couldn't be evil, Levi argued, leaning forward and pointing at Kath with his fork. She's pure of heart. A lion of dawn.
Kath narrowed her eyes. How do you know that?
I told you, I've seen the movies.
Well, in my world, if I want to make Agatha evil, I can. Or I can make her a vampire. Or I can make her an actual lion.
Simon wouldn't like that.
Simon doesn't care. He's in love with Baz.
Levi guffawed. You don't get many opportunities to use that word, Kath thought, but this is one of them. Simon isn't gay, he said.
In my world, he is.
But Baz is his nemesis. I don't have to follow any of the rules. The original books already exist. It's not my job to rewrite them. Is it your job to make Simon gay?
You're getting distracted by the gay thing, Kath said. She was leaning forward now, too.
It is distracting, Levi giggled.
Did guys giggle or chuckle? Kath hated the word chuckle. The whole point of fan fiction, she said, is that you get to play inside somebody else's universe, rewrite the rules, or bend them. The story doesn't have to end when Gemma Leslie gets tired of it. You can stay in this world you love, as long as you want. As long as you keep thinking of new stories.
Fan fiction, Levi said.
Yes.
Kath was embarrassed by how sincere she sounded, how excited she felt whenever she actually talked about this. She was so used to keeping it a secret, used to assuming people would think she was a freak and a nerd and a pervert. Maybe Levi thought all those things. Maybe he just found freaks and perverts amusing. Emergency dance party? He asked.
Right. She sat back in the booth again. Our professor asked us to write a scene with an untrustworthy narrator. I wrote something about Simon and Baz. She didn't get it. She thought it was plagiarism.
Kath forced herself to use that word, felt the tar wake up with a twist in her stomach. But it was your story, Levi said.
Yes!
That's not exactly plagiarism.
He smiled at her. She needed to come up with more words for Levi's smiles. He had too many of them. This one was a question.
They were your words, right?
Right.
I mean, I can see why your professor wouldn't want you to write a Simon Snow story. The class isn't called fan fiction writing, but I wouldn't call it plagiarism. Is it illegal?
No. As long as you don't try to sell it.
GTL says she loves fanfiction. I mean, she loves the idea of it. She doesn't actually read it.
Is your professor reporting you?
What do you mean?
Is she reporting you to the judicial board?
She didn't even mention that.
She would have mentioned it, he said. So, okay.
He waved his fork and a straight line between them, holding it like a pencil.
This isn't a big deal. You just don't turn in any more fan fiction.
It still felt like a big deal. Kath's stomach still hurt. She made me feel so stupid and deviant. Levi laughed again.
Do you really expect an elderly English professor to be down with gay Simon Snow fan fiction?
She didn't even mention the gay thing, Kath said.
Deviant.
He raised an eyebrow. Levi's eyebrows were much darker than his hair, too dark, really, and arched, like he'd drawn them on. Kath felt herself smile, even though she was trying to hold her lips and face still. She shook her head, then looked down at her food and took a big bite. Levi scraped more eggs and hash onto her plate.
Sneaking around the castle, staying out all night, coming home in the morning with leaves in his hair. Baz was up to something. Simon was sure of it. But he needed proof. Penelope and Agatha weren't taking his suspicions seriously. He's plotting, Simon would say. He's always plotting, Penelope would answer. He's looming, Simon would say. He's always looming, Agatha would answer. He is quite tall. No taller than me. A bit. It wasn't just the plotting and the looming. Baz was up to something. Something beyond his chronic skittishness. His pearl-gray eyes were bloodshot and shadowed. His black hair had lost its luster. Usually cold and intimidating, lately Baz seemed chilled and cornered. Simon had followed him around the catacombs last night for 3 hours, and still didn't have a clue. From Chapter 3, Simon Snow and the Five Blades. Copyright 2008 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 12. It was too cold to wait outside before fiction writing, so Kath found a bench inside Andrew's hall and sat with one leg tucked beneath her, leaning back against the cream-colored wall. She took out her phone and opened a fic she'd been reading. She was too nervous to study. Kath never read other people's Simon/Baz anymore. She didn't want to unconsciously mimic another author or steal someone's ideas. So when she did read fic, it was always about Penelope. Sometimes Penelope/Agatha, sometimes Penelope/Micah, the American exchange student who only appeared in Book 3. Sometimes just Penelope, all on her own, having adventures. It felt like an act of open rebellion to be reading fan fiction while she sat in the English building, waiting to see Professor Piper for the first time since their talk. Kath had actually considered skipping class today, but she figured that would just make it even more painful to face Professor Piper the next time. It's not like Kath could skip class for the rest of the semester. Better to just get it over with. Kath had already faced Wren, and that hadn't gone nearly so badly as she'd expected. They'd eaten lunch together twice this week, and neither of them had brought up the scene at Muggsy's. Maybe Wren had been too drunk to remember the details. Courtney didn't seem to get that they were avoiding the subject. That girl had the subtlety of a Spencer's Gifts shop.
"Hey, Kath," Courtney said at lunch. "Who was that cute blonde boy you were with Friday night? Was that your hot librarian?"
"No," Kath said. "That's just Levi." "Her roommate's boyfriend," Wren said, stirring her vegetable soup. Wren seemed tired. She wasn't wearing mascara, and her eyelashes looked pale and stubby.
"Oh," Courtney stuck out her bottom lip. "Too bad. He was super cute. Farm boy."
"How could you tell he's a farm boy?" Kath asked.
"Carhartt," they both said at once.
"What?"
"His coat," Wren explained.
all the farm boys wear Carhartt.
Trust your sister on this, Courtney giggled. She knows all the farm boys.
He's not my hot librarian, Kath had said. No one is my hot librarian, she thought now, losing her place in the fic she was reading. No one is my hot anything. And besides, Kath still wasn't sure whether Nick was actually hot or whether he just projected hotness, specifically in her direction. Someone sat down next to her on the bench, and Kath glanced up from her phone. Nick tilted his chin up in greeting.
Think of the devil, she said, then wished she hadn't.
You thinking about me?
I was thinking of the devil, Kath said stupidly.
Idle brains, Nick said, grinning.
He was wearing a thick navy blue turtleneck sweater that made him look like he was serving on a Soviet battleship, like even more so than usual.
So, what did Piper want to talk to you about last week?
Nothing much.
Kath's stomach was such a mess today, she hardly felt it wrench. Nick unwrapped a piece of gum and set it on his tongue.
Was it about taking her advanced class?
No.
You have to make an appointment to talk to her about it, he said, chewing. It's like an interview. I'm meeting with her next week. I'm hoping she'll give me a teaching assistantship.
Yeah? Kath sat up a little straighter. That'd be great. You'd be great at that.
Nick gave her a sheepish smile.
Yeah, well, I wish I would have talked to her about it before that last assignment. It was my worst grade of the semester.
Really?
It was hard to make eye contact with Nick. His eyes were almost buried under his eyebrows. You had to dig into his face.
Mine too, Kath said.
She said that my writing was overly slick and impenetrable.
He sighed. She said worse about mine.
Guess I've gotten used to writing with backup, Nick said, still smiling at her,
still sheepish.
Codependent, Kath said.
Nick snapped his gum at her.
We writing tonight?
Kath nodded and looked back at her phone.
Reagan isn't here, Kath said, already closing the door.
Levi leaned into the door with his shoulder.
I think we're past that, he said, walking into the room.
Kath shrugged and went back to her desk. Levi flopped down on her bed. He was dressed in black. He must have just gotten off work. She frowned at him.
I still can't believe you work at Starbucks, she said.
What's wrong with Starbucks?
It's a big, faceless corporation.
He raised a good-natured brow.
So far, they've let me keep my face.
Kath went back to her laptop.
I like my job, he said. I see the same people every day. I remember their drinks. They like that I remember their drinks. I make them happy, and then they leave. It's like being a bartender, but you don't have to deal with drunks. Speaking of, how's your sister?
Kath stopped typing and looked at him.
Fine. She's
fine. Back to normal, I guess.
Thanks, you know, for driving me and everything.
Kath had told Levi thank you Friday night, but she felt like she owed him a few more.
Forget about it. Did you guys have a big talk?
We don't have to have big talks, she said, holding two fingers to her temple. We're twins. We have telepathy.
Levi grinned.
Really?
Kath laughed.
No.
Not even a little bit?
No.
She went back to typing.
What are you working on?
A biology essay.
Not secret, dirty fan fiction?
Kath stopped again.
My fan fiction is neither a secret, obviously, nor is it dirty.
He ran his fingers through his hair, making it stick up in the middle in sandy blonde plumes. Shameless.
What do you put in your hair to make it stick up like that? She asked.
He laughed and did it again.
Nothing.
Nothing. Something.
I think it does that because I don't wash it.
She grimaced.
Ever?
Every month or so, maybe.
Kath wrinkled her nose and shook her head.
That's disgusting.
No, it isn't. I still rinse it.
Still disgusting.
It's perfectly clean, he said.
He leaned toward her and his hair touched her arm. This room was too small.
Smell it.
She sat back. I'm not smelling your hair.
Well, I'll smell it.
He pulled a piece down his long forehead. It came to the bridge of his nose.
It smells like freshly mown clover.
I don't think you mow clover.
Can you imagine how sweet it would smell if you did?
Levi sat back, which was a relief, until he picked up her pillow and started rubbing his head into it. Oh, God, she said. Stop! That's such a violation. Levi laughed, and she tried to grab her pillow from him. He held it to his chest with both hands.
Cather.
Don't call me that.
Read me some of your secret, dirty fan fiction.
It's not dirty.
Read me some anyway.
She let go of the pillow. He'd probably already filthed it beyond redemption. Why?
Because I'm curious, he said. And I like stories.
You just want to make fun of me.
I won't, he said. I promise.
That's what you and Reagan do when I'm not here, right? Make fun of me? Play with my commemorative busts? Do you have a stupid nickname for me? His eyes sparkled.
Cather.
I don't exist to amuse you, you know.
One, are you sure? Because you do. And two, we don't make fun of you. Very much. Anymore. And three,
he was counting on his fingers and his cheeks were twitching and it was making Kath laugh.
Three, he said, I won't make fun of you to anyone but you from now on. If you'll just once, right now, read me some of your fan fiction.
Kath gave him a level stare, a mostly level stare. She was still giggling a little and blinking hard and occasionally looking up at the ceiling. You're curious, she said. He nodded. She rolled her eyes again and turned to her laptop.
Why not? She didn't have anything to lose.
Yes, but that's not the point, part of her argued. What do you have to gain?
It's not like Levi was going to be impressed by her fan fiction. Entertained wasn't the same as impressed. He already thought she was a weirdo, and this was just going to make her seem that much weirder. Did the bearded lady get excited when cute guys came to her freak show? Kath shouldn't want this kind of attention, and Levi wasn't even that cute. His forehead was lined even when he wasn't making a face. Sun damage, probably.
Okay, she said. He grinned and started to say something. Shut up. She held up her left hand. Don't make me change my mind. Just let me find something. She opened the Simon/Baz folder on her desktop and scrolled through it, looking for something suitable. Nothing too romantic or dirty. Maybe... Yeah, this one'll do. All right, she said. You know how in the sixth book...
Which one is that?
Simon Snow and the Six White Hares.
Right, I've seen that movie.
Okay. So, Simon stays at school during Christmas break because he's trying to find the fifth hare.
And because his dad has been kidnapped by monsters in creepy costumes, so no happy Christmas dinner at the snow house.
They're called the Queen's Ogres, Kath said. And Simon still doesn't know that the mage is his dad.
How can he not know? Levi demanded.
Kath was encouraged by how indignant he sounded.
It's so obvious. Why does the mage show up every time something important happens and get all weepy, talking about how he knew a woman once with Simon's eyes?
I know, Kath said. It's lame, but I think Simon wants so badly for the mage to be his dad that he won't let himself accept the overwhelming evidence. If he were wrong, it would ruin him.
Basil knows, Levi said.
Oh, Baz totally knows. I think Penelope knows, too.
Penelope Bunce. Levi grinned. If I were Simon, I'd be all Penelope all the time.
Ugh, she's like a sister to him.
Not like any of my sisters.
Anyway, Kath said, this story takes place during that Christmas break.
Okay,
Levi said.
Got it.
He closed his eyes and leaned back against the wall, holding Kath's pillow.
All right, I'm ready.
Kath turned to the computer and cleared her throat, then felt stupid about clearing her throat. then glanced back at Levi one more time. She couldn't believe she was doing this. Was she really doing this?
If you keep pacing like that, Baz said, I'm going to curse your feet into the floorboards.
Simon ignored him. He was thinking about the clues he'd found so far, trying to see a pattern. The rabbit-shaped stone in the ritual tower, the stained glass hair in the cathedral, the sigil on the drawbridge.
Snow! Baz shouted. A spell book sailed past Simon's nose.
What are you thinking? Simon asked, genuinely surprised.
Flying books and curses were fair game in the hallways and classrooms, and, well, everywhere else. But if Baz tried to hurt him inside their room...
The roommate's anathema, Simon said. You'll be expelled.
Which is why I missed. I know the rules, Baz muttered, rubbing his eyes.
Did you know, Snow, that if your roommate dies during the school year, they give you top marks just out of sympathy?
That's a myth, Simon said.
Lucky for you, I'm already getting top marks.
Simon stopped pacing to really look at his roommate. Normally, he liked to pretend that Baz wasn't here. Normally, Baz wasn't here. Unless he was spying or plotting, Baz hated to be in their room. He said it smelled like good intentions. But Baz had hardly left the room in the last 2 weeks. Simon hadn't seen him in the calf or at football. He'd seemed drawn and distracted in class, and his school shirts, usually pressed and bright white, were looking as manky as Simon's.
Because he's a vampire, Simon, Levi interjected.
In this story, Kath said, Simon doesn't know that yet.
He's a vampire, Levi shouted at her laptop. And he's hunting you. He stays up all night watching you sleep, trying to decide whether to eat you whole or one chunk at a time.
Simon can't hear you, Kath said. Levi sat back, hugging the pillow again.
They are kind of gay, aren't they? What with all the watching each other sleep and the ignoring Penelope?
They're obsessed with each other, Kath said, as if this were one of life's absolute givens. Simon spends the entire fifth book following Baz around and describing his eyes. It's like a thesaurus entry for Gray.
I don't know, Levi said. It's hard for me to get my head around. It's like hearing that Harry Potter is gay, or Encyclopedia Brown.
That made Kath laugh out loud. Big Encyclopedia Brown fan?
Shut up. My dad used to read them to me.
He closed his eyes again.
Okay, go on.
Is something wrong? Simon asked, then couldn't believe he'd asked it. It's not like he really cared. If Baz said yes, Simon would likely say good. Still, it seemed cruel not to ask. Baz may be the most despicable human being Simon had ever met, but he was still a human being.
I'm not the one pacing the room like a hyperactive madman, Baz mumbled, his elbows on his desk, his head resting in his hands.
You seem down or something.
Yes, I'm down. I'm down, Snow.
Baz raised his head and spun his chair toward Simon. He really did look terrible. His eyes were sunken and shot with blood.
I've spent the last 6 years living with the most self-centered, insufferable prat ever to carry a wand. And now, instead of celebrating Christmas Eve with my beloved family, drinking mulled cider and eating toasted cheese... Instead of warming my hands at my ancestral hearth, I'm playing tortured extra in the bloody Simon Snow show.
Simon stared at him. It's Christmas Eve?
Yes,
Baz groaned. Simon walked around his bed glumly. He hadn't realized it was Christmas Eve. He'd have thought that Agatha would have called him. Or Penelope.
Levi sighed. Penelope.
Kath read on. Maybe his friends were waiting for Simon to call them. He hadn't even bought them gifts. Lately, nothing had seemed as important as finding the white hairs. Simon clenched his square jaw. Nothing was as important. The whole school was in danger. There must be some pattern he wasn't seeing. He quickened his step. The stone in the tower, the stained glass window, the sigil, the mage's book. "I give up," Baz whined. "I'm going to go drown myself in the moat. Tell my mother I always knew she loved me best." Simon stopped pacing at Baz's desk. "Do you know how to get down to the moat?" "I'm not actually going to kill myself, Snow. Sorry to disappoint." "No, it's just, you use the punts sometimes, don't you?"
"Everyone does."
"Not me," Simon said. "I can't swim."
"Really?"
Baz hissed with a hint of his old vigor.
"Well, you wouldn't want to swim in the moat anyway. The merwolves would get you."
"Why don't they bother the boats?"
"Silver punt poles and braces."
"Will you take me out on one?"
It was worth a try. The moat was one of the only places left in the school that Simon hadn't searched.
"You want to go punting with me?" Baz asked.
"Yes," Simon said, tilting his chin up.
"Will you do it?"
"Why?"
"I want to see what it's like. I've never done it."
"Why does it matter? It's Christmas Eve, and you obviously don't have anything better to do. Apparently even your parents can't stand to be around you."
Baz stood suddenly, his gray eyes glinting dangerously in the shadow of his brow. "You know nothing about my parents." Simon stepped back. Baz had a few inches on him, for now, and when Baz made an effort, he could seem dangerous.
"Look, I'm sorry," Simon said.
"Will you do it?"
"Fine," Baz said. The flare of anger and energy had already faded.
"Get your cloak."
Kath glanced over at Levi. His eyes were still closed. After a second, he opened one.
"Is it over?"
"No," she said. "I just didn't know if you wanted me to go on. I mean, you get the idea." Levi closed his eyes and shook his head.
"Don't be stupid. Keep going."
Kath looked at him for another second, at the lines in his forehead and the scruff of dark blonde hair along his jaw. His mouth was small, but bowed, like a doll's. She wondered if he had trouble opening it wide enough to eat apples.
"Your madness must be catching," Baz complained, untangling a rope. The boats were stacked and tied off for the winter. Simon hadn't been thinking about the cold.
"Shut up," he said anyway. "It'll be fun."
"That's the point, Snow. Since when do we have fun together? I don't even know what you'd do for fun. Teeth whitening, I assume. Unnecessary dragon slaying."
"We've had fun before," Simon argued, because he didn't know how to do anything with Baz but argue, and because surely Baz was wrong. In 6 years, they must have shared some fun.
"There was that time in third year when we fought the Chimera together."
"I was trying to lure you there," Baz said. "I thought I'd get away from the thing before it attacked. Still, it was fun."
"I was trying to kill you, Snow. And on that note, are you sure you want to do this, alone with me, on a boat? What if I shove you over? I could let the merwolves solve all my problems."
Simon twisted his lips to one side.
"I don't think you will."
"And why ever not?"
Baz cast off the last of the ropes.
"If you really wanted to get rid of me," Simon said thoughtfully, "you would have by now. No one else has had as many opportunities. I don't think you'd hurt me unless it played into one of your grand plans."
"This could be my grand plan," Baz said, shoving one of the punts free with a grunt.
"No," Simon said. "This one is mine."
"Alistair Crawley, Snow, are you going to help me with this or what?"
They carried the boat down to the water, Baz swinging the punt pole lightly. Simon noticed for the first time the silver plating at one end.
"Snowball fights," he said, following Baz's lead as they settled the boat in the water.
"What?"
"We've had lots of snowball fights. Those are fun. And food fights. That time I spelled gravy up your nose. And I put your wand in the microwave. You destroyed the kitchen, Simon laughed. I thought it would just swell up like a marshmallow peep. There was no reason to think that. Baz shrugged. Don't put a wand in the microwave. Lesson learned. Unless it's Snow's wand and Snow's microwave. Simon was standing on the dock now, shivering. He really hadn't considered how cold it would be out here, or the fact that he'd actually have to get into a boat. He glanced down at the cold, black water of the moat and thought he saw something heavy and dark moving below the surface. Come on! Baz was already in the punt. He jabbed Simon's shoulder with the pole. This is your grand plan, remember? Simon set his jaw and stepped in. The boat dipped beneath his weight, and he scrabbled forward. Baz laughed. Maybe this will be fun, he said, sinking the pole into the water and shoving off. Baz looked perfectly comfortable up there, a long, dark shadow at the end of the punt, as elegant and graceful as ever. He shifted into the moonlight, and Simon watched him take a slow, deep breath. He looked more alive than he had in weeks. But Simon hadn't come out here to watch Baz. God knows he had plenty of other opportunities. Simon turned, looking around the moat, taking in the carvings along the stone walls and the tile at the water's edge. I should have brought a lantern, he said. Too bad you're not a magician, Baz replied, conjuring a ball of blue flame and tossing it at Simon's head. Simon ducked and caught it. Baz had always been better than he was at fire magic. Show off. The tile glittered in the light. Can we get closer to the wall? Simon asked. Baz obliged smoothly. Up close, Simon could see there was a mosaic that stretched beneath the water. Wizard battles, unicorns, symbols and glyphs. Who knew how far down it went? Baz guided them slowly along the wall, and Simon held the light up, gradually leaning over the side of the boat to get a better look. He forgot about Baz in a way he normally wouldn't allow himself to do outside the protection of their room. Simon didn't even notice at first when the boat drifted to a stop. When he looked back, Baz had stepped toward him in the punt. He was curled above Simon, washed blue by his own conjured fire, his teeth bared and his face thick with decision and disgust. The door flew open. Reagan always kicked it as soon as she had it unlocked. There were dusty shoe prints all over the outside of their door. She swept in, dropping her bags on the floor. Hey, she said, glancing over at them. Quiet, Levi whispered. Kath's reading fan fiction. Really? Reagan looked at them with more interest. Not really, Kath said, shutting her laptop. Just finished. No! Levi leaned over and opened it. You can't stop in the middle of a vampire attack. Vampires, huh? Reagan said. Sounds pretty exciting. I've got to finish my biology essay, Kath said. Come on, Reagan turned to Levi. Plant fizz. Are we doing this? We're doing it, he grumbled, sliding off Kath's bed. Can I use your phone? He asked her. Kath handed him her phone, and he punched a number in. His back pocket started playing a Led Zeppelin song. To be continued, he said, handing it back to her. Solid?
Sure, Kath said.
Library? Reagan asked. Highway Diner. Levi picked up his backpack and opened the door. Fan fiction makes me crave corned beef hash. See ya, Reagan said to Kath.
See ya, Kath said.
Levi ducked his head back at the last minute to flash her a wide grin.
If you wanted to meet other Star Trek fans in 1983, you'd have to join fan clubs by mail or meet up with other Trekkies at conventions. When readers fell for Simon in 2001, the fan community was as close as the nearest keyboard. Simon Snow fandom exploded on the internet, and just keeps exploding. There are more sites and blogs devoted to Simon than to the Beatles and Lady Gaga combined. You'll find fan stories, fan art, fan videos, plus endless discussion and conjecture. Loving Simon isn't something one does alone or once a year at a convention. For thousands of fans of all ages, loving Simon Snow is nothing less than a lifestyle. Jennifer Magnuson, Tribe of Simon, Newsweek, October 28, 2007.
Chapter 13. Kath wasn't trying to make new friends here. In some cases, she was actively trying not to make friends, though she usually stopped short of being rude. Uptight, tense, and mildly misanthropic, yes. Rude, no. But everyone around Kath, everybody in her classes and in the dorms, really was trying to make friends, and sometimes she'd have to be rude not to go along with it. Campus life was just so predictable, one routine layered over another. You saw the same people while you were brushing your teeth, and a different set of the same people in each class, the same people passing you every day in the halls. Pretty soon you were nodding, and then you were saying hello, and eventually someone would start a conversation, and you just had to go along with it. What was Kath supposed to say? Stop talking to me? It's not like she was Reagan. That's how she ended up hanging out with TJ and Julian in American history, and Katie, a non-traditional student with two kids in political science. There was a nice girl in her fiction writing class named Kendra, and she and Kath both studied in the Union for an hour on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, so it made sense to sit at the same table. None of these friendships spread into Kath's personal life. TJ and Julian weren't inviting her to smoke weed with them or to come over and play Batman Arkham City on the PlayStation 3. No one ever invited Kath to go out or to parties except for Reagan and Levi, who felt more like sponsors than friends. Not even Nick, whom Kath was riding with regularly now, twice a week. Meanwhile, Ren's social calendar was so crowded, Kath felt like even calling her sister was an interruption. Kath had thought they were over the bartastrophe, but Ren was acting even more irritable and remote than she'd been at the start of the year. When Kath did try to call, Ren was always on her way out, and she wouldn't tell Kath where she was going. "I don't need you to show up with a stomach pump," Ren said. In some ways, it had always been like this. Ren had always been the social one, the friendly one, the one who got invited to quinceañeras and birthday parties. But before, in junior high and high school, everyone knew that if you invited Ren, you got Kath. They were a package deal, even at dances. There were 3 years' worth of photos taken at every homecoming and prom of Kath and Ren standing with their dates under an archway of balloons or in front of a glittery curtain. They were a package deal, period. Since always. They'd even gone to therapy together after their mom left, which seemed weird now that Kath thought about it, especially considering how differently they'd reacted. Ren acting out, Kath acting in. Violently, desperately in. Journey to the center of the earth in. Their third grade teacher, they were always in the same class all through elementary school, thought they must be upset about the terrorists. Because their mom left on September 11th. The September 11th. Kath still found this incredibly embarrassing. It was like their mom was so self-centered she couldn't be trusted not to desecrate a national tragedy with her own issues. Kath and Ren had been sent home from school early that day, and their parents were already fighting when they got there. Her dad was upset, and her mom was crying. And Kath thought at first that it was because of the World Trade Center. Their teacher had told them about the airplanes. But that wasn't it. Not exactly. Her mom kept saying, "I'm done, Art. I'm just done. I'm living the wrong life."
Kath went out and sat on the back steps, and Ren sat beside her, holding her hand. The fight went on and on. And when the president flew over their heads that afternoon on the way to the Air Force base, the only plane in the sky, Kath thought maybe the whole world was going to end. Her mom left for good a week later, hugging both of the girls on the front porch, kissing their cheeks again and again, and promising that she'd see them both soon, that she just needed some time to feel better, to remember who she really was. Which didn't make any sense to Kath and Ren. You're our mom. Kath couldn't remember everything that happened next. She remembered crying a lot at school, hiding with Ren in the bathroom during recess, holding hands on the bus, Ren scratching a boy in the eye who said they were gay. Ren didn't cry. She stole things and hid them under her pillow. When their dad changed their sheets for the first time, not until after Valentine's Day, he found Simon Snow pencils and lip smackers and a Britney Spears CD. Then, in 1 week, Ren cut some other girl's dress with safety scissors, and Kath wet her pants during social studies because she was scared to raise her hand to ask for a bathroom pass. Their teacher called their dad in and gave him a business card for a child psychologist. Their dad didn't tell the therapist their mom was gone. He didn't even tell Grandma until summer break. He was so sure she was going to come back. And he was such a disaster. They were all three such a disaster. It had taken years to put themselves back together, and so what if some things didn't get put back in the right place? At least they could hold themselves up. Most of the time. Kath closed her biology book and reached for her laptop. Reading was too quiet. She needed to write. It startled her when the phone rang. She stared at it for a second before she answered, trying to recognize the number. Hello? Hey, it's Levi. Hi? There's a party at my house tonight. There's always a party at your house. So you'll come? Reagan's coming. What would I do at your party, Levi? Have fun, he said, and she could hear that he was smiling. Kath tried not to. Not drink, not smoke, not get high. You could talk to people.
I don't like to talk to drunk people.
Just because people will be drinking doesn't mean they'll be drunk. I won't be drunk.
I don't need to go to a party to talk to you. Did Reagan tell you to invite me?
No, not exactly. Not like that.
Have fun at your party, Levi.
Wait, Kath?
What?
She said it like she was hassled, but she wasn't, not really. What are you doing?
Trying to write. What are you doing?
Nothing, he said. Just got off work. Maybe you should finish reading me that story.
What story?
She knew what story. The Simon Snow story. Vampire Baz was just about to attack Simon.
You want me to read to you over the phone?
Why not?
I'm not going to read to you over the phone.
There was a knock at the door. Kath eyed it suspiciously. More knocking.
I know that's you, she said into the phone.
Levi laughed. She got up and opened the door, ending the call.
You're ridiculous.
I brought you coffee, he said.
He was wearing all black. Black jeans, black sweater, black leather work boots, and holding two Christmassy red cups. I don't really drink coffee,
their previous encounters notwithstanding. That's okay. These are more like melted candy bars. Which do you want, gingerbread latte or eggnog?
Eggnog reminds me of mucus, she said.
Me too, but in a good way.
He held out his hand.
Gingerbread. Kath took the cup and smiled in resignation. You're welcome, Levi said. He sat on her bed and smiled expectantly.
You're serious?
She sat down at her desk. Come on, Kath, don't you write these stories so that people can enjoy them?
I write them so that people will read them,
I'll send you a link.
Don't send me a link. I'm not much of an internet person.
Kath felt her eyes get big. She was about to take a sip of her coffee, but stopped.
How do you not like the internet? That's like saying, I don't like things that are convenient and easy. I don't like having access to all of mankind's recorded discoveries at my fingertips. I don't like light and knowledge.
I like knowledge, he said.
You're not a book person, and now you're not an internet person. What does that leave you?
Levi laughed.
Life, work, class, the great outdoors, other people.
Other people, Kath repeated, shaking her head and taking a sip.
There are other people on the internet. It's awesome. You get all the